Well, you just heard Benjamin Applebaum describe Barney Frank as not exactly warm. Irascible is another word often applied to the congressman, but there's also intelligent, tireless, even courageous. Joining us now is a man who knows which of these attributes describes the real Barney Frank. His name is Jim Siegel, and he's been a friend, advisor, and special counsel to Frank for more than 40 years. He's currently a partner at the Boston law firm Smith, Siegel & Ruddock. Jim Siegel, welcome to Radio Boston.
It's nice to be here.
First, let me just briefly ask you, you were there at Newton when Congressman Frank announced that he's not going to run for re-election. What was your response to his decision?
Yes, and I talked to him over the weekend about that. I think it's a good decision. I think he's ready to move on. I think he's done what he can do in Congress at this point, and I think he's at ease with it, which is what's most important.
I want to ask you a little bit more about the role that you recently played as Congressman Frank's special counsel regarding the Dodd-Frank bill, as we just heard about. I'm going to get to that in a second, but if we could take a step back first, I mean, you're one of those few people who has known the congressman for, as we said, four decades. You first met as undergraduates at Harvard?
I was an undergraduate. He was a graduate student.
And what was he like back then?
He was a good teacher. He was very passionate. He would sit in Winthrop House, which is where he was a resident tutor, and we would have engaged in conversations with a number of undergraduates over issues of that time, which were basically civil rights. He went to Mississippi in 1964. He was passionate about civil rights, and he put his body on the line. That's when in Mississippi, when three people were murdered, three of the civil rights workers were murdered as well. He has courage in that regard. He has backed it up with intellectual fervor as well, and would engage in conversation with undergraduates who were new and in the middle of a world of turmoil at that point between civil rights and Vietnam and women's rights, basically.
Was it evident to you at that time that he was going to devote basically the rest of his professional life to politics?
Yes. In fact, some of us would speculate where he would go. Most of us did not think he would go in elective office, but would rather be an aide to somebody in the president or a senator or something like that. We didn't think that he would actually go for elective office.
Why not?
We didn't think he had the personality, I guess, or the roots at that point to run for office. He was very direct. He was very funny. He didn't particularly look like Robert Redford in the candidate. He surprised us when he decided to run in 1972 for the state legislature from Beacon Hill, which had been a Republican seat, pretty much a Republican seat for the last 200 years.
Well, just prior to that, in 1968, he had been Boston Mayor Kevin White's chief assistant, so definitely active in local city-based politics. I want to make a bridge to that, to what you said about his time on Beacon Hill. I mean, I think one of the key pieces of legislation that he proposed, for example, but it never got passed, was he wanted to basically defend what was then the combat zone that would basically have legalized prostitution but kept it contained within a red light district. So, I mean, can we see in that early signs of Barney Frank, the practical, solution-oriented lawmaker, or the provocateur?
Yeah, both. Actually, he had come up with a number of issues when he was a legislator on Beacon Hill, one of which was to tax hospitals, one of which was to legalize prostitution in certain areas and legalize the combat zone and pornography in certain areas, which were pretty far ahead of their times and proved to be fairly difficult when he ran for Congress 8 years later.
Because his opponents painted him as with a broad brush of they said that he had wanted to put that in every city, but that wasn't true, right?
I think he was only talking about Boston,
right.
But I don't really recall the legislation.
But the proposed
legislation.
I didn't
vote with him all the time, yes.
It came back to haunt him. Today we heard Congressman Frank say that he believes he was pretty good as a legislator, and especially at the inside work that it takes to make policy in Washington on a day-to-day basis. I wonder if you ever witnessed that with your own eyes, because hearing him say that, it just seems so opposed to sort of the bonhomie of a Kennedy-style, say, proclivity to compromise that we think of as being a requirement for making political sausage on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think he was one of the best legislators I'd seen. I was also a state representative from Brookline we were classmates in the legislature, and I watched him firsthand, and he was very good on inside politics. He knew what members could buy and what they couldn't buy in terms of their districts and their own feelings towards things. And he was able to reach compromises that which resulted in legislation, which is really the objective of most people who serve in the legislature. It's kind of changed a little bit in the United States Congress now, where there's a sizable segment that don't want to do anything. But he's very good. He's one of the few members I've seen who's very good on the inside, as good as anybody I've seen on the inside, and also very good on the outside. He can frame an argument. He can communicate to the both the media and the public, and is very good on media. The previous reporter talked about how much reporters liked him, even though he sometimes yelled at them. But he was very good because he answered questions and was able to frame the issues.
Did he have any weaknesses as a legislator that you would think about?
Well, we all have weaknesses as a legislator, but I thought he was very good tactically, and he was also good strategically. So he often knew the issues better than other people. He's a quick study. He read a lot, and he reads a lot. I guess this is not a eulogy, so I should talk present tense.
And he's still very active and has a long career outside of politics, as he's shared with us today. But I do want to ask you one thing about his personal life, and that is in 1987, when he became the first congressman to voluntarily come out as gay. Did he talk to you about that decision before he made the announcement?
He had talked to me about his being gay a number of years before that. And then I don't recall that he told me he was going to do that. And often, these are personal decisions. He will make them. Sometimes I will offer my suggestions or not. But I thought that was the appropriate thing to do at that point. He didn't feel he was being personally honest at that point. And he is... very much has a lot of integrity, both personal and intellectual integrity, and he wanted to make sure that he was out there. He was an advocate for gay rights. He wanted people to know that as well. I think if he had come out too much sooner, he may not have been able to be elected, and I had advised him not to earlier on, but I think when he did, it was appropriate.
It was the right time in 1987.
I think it turned out that way.
You know, we have just a minute left to go, and I wanted to ask you about the time you spent the past several years being Congressman Frank's special advisor on the Dodd-Frank bill. It's an interesting indication of the time we're at that his coming out as gay in the 80s is seeing as it's being popularly conceived as not the thing he's going to be most remembered for, but rather this piece of legislation. So let me just ask you, and I'm sorry that we only have a couple seconds left, but do you feel like this is his standing legacy, this one major piece of financial reform?
I think from a legislative point of view, yes. It's the major reform since the 1930s. It's pretty all-encompassing. The Republicans talk about repealing it, but really they can't repeal most of it. They're hindering it. And I think he will be known for his passion, and his passion particularly for civil rights as well as gay rights. But legislatively, it will be, I think it'll be Dodd-Frank.
And do you see him, what would you like to see him do after he retires next year?
I'd like him to be speaking and writing on what he wants. He'll be liberated. He will not have constraints of constituencies and others. And I think he'll be a very effective spokesman for those ideas that he wants to, particularly civil rights.
And even more Frank, Barney Frank.
Right.
Jim Siegel is a friend, a longtime friend and advisor to Congressman Barney Frank. He is currently a partner at the Boston law firm of Smith, Siegel and Ruddock. Mr. Siegel, thank you so much for coming in today.
You're welcome. It's a pleasure.
Radio Boston is a production of WBUR with regular contributions from The Angle at Boston.com. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.